Amen. Well, we've been going through a series called Battle of Authority, and today we come to the last chapter in this series, and this chapter is filled with a bunch of woes, and it might seem like kind of a we're gonna use about a month to go through this, and so it might feel like it's kind of a down month where we're just talking about all these negative things, but I want to assure you that there is always hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that I want us to continue to think about is, you know, who is the authority in my life? Is it Jesus or is it myself? Do I make decisions based on what the scriptures tell me, or do I make decisions upon based on what I think is good and right, or what the society tells me? And so we want to continue to think through that as we look to God's word today. So why don't we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll begin in verse 1. And I want to encourage everyone, if you do have your Bibles, whether it be a paper copy or an electronic copy, please open it up. And we will have it on the screen also, but I do want to encourage you guys to open it up. All right, Matthew chapter 23, and we'll start in verse 1, and we'll be reading to verse 12. All right, trusting that you guys have all found it, this is the reading of God's word. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Amen. I have a simple question today, which is, when you see other people serving, what do you usually do? All right, that might be a little bit vague, so... So let me ask a little bit more specifically. When you see other people helping out and they're moving chairs, right, and they're setting stuff up, or maybe they're breaking things, that they're breaking down the setup there, what do you usually do when you see someone else doing that? Or when you see someone doing the dishes, what do you usually do? Or maybe when you see someone cleaning the floor. Now, I know that maybe some of us, we don't really have a lot of interactions with each other. But then if you join a community group, and there may be times that you go and visit someone's house and you have a meal together. And there will be times when everyone's done with their food and then someone's doing the dishes or someone's helping clean the floor or wiping the table. When you see someone else doing that, what do you usually do? Or when you see trash on the ground, or maybe someone you see someone cleaning up the trash, what do you usually do? Today, I'm asking these questions because we're talking about not necessarily about what we do per se, but I want to focus on our mindsets, our hearts, our motivations. What's behind the things that we do and what's behind the things that we think? Because in the end, I mean, our actions do matter, but the source of our actions actually matter quite a bit more. And so I want to ask the question, what's really going on in your heart when you decide to act or not act or passively just sit by? What's going on in your heart? The main idea for today is be a servant, not a master. Be a servant, not a master. And we're going to talk about it with 3 points. Number one, exalted in ancient times. Number two, exalted in our time. And number three, exalted through all time. All right, so one more time. The title for today is Woes to be exalted. The main idea is be a servant, not a master. And the three points are, number one, exalted in ancient times. Number two, exalted in our time. And number three, exalted through all time. All right, so the first point, exalted in ancient times. We want to look to the passage and talk about what's been going on. So if you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, that's okay. I want to explain a little bit about what's been going on in the context here. Jesus, a couple chapters back, was asked, by what authority do you do all the things that you do? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders, the Jewish leaders, they come and they start questioning Jesus. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they're questioning him not to find out more information, but they're wanting to test Jesus. Are you really, like, you're claiming to be the Messiah, you're claiming all these things, and you're claiming this authority, but we want to bring you down because you seem like a fake. And that's what was going on in the Jewish leaders' minds. And then in last week's sermon, the last passage before chapter 23, what we find is that Jesus answers all their questions well, and now he comes back to them with a question. And he questions them because he's wanting to say, look, I am who I say I am, and let's really see what you guys say about who you are. You guys claim to have all the authority, but let's see if you can answer my question. And they weren't able to. And so Jesus has shown that he is the ultimate authority over Scripture. He is the Messiah that is to come. He's showing it, although he hasn't explicitly said, he has in other places, but in these past few passages, he hasn't explicitly said, I am the Messiah. But he proves it. And now we come to this last chapter, in chapter 23, where he's going to pronounce the woes of the Pharisees, the leaders of Israel. Jesus comes and he's going to say, look at these leaders, all of these people that are claiming to have authority. Let's really look at what's going on behind the scenes. Let's really look at what's going on in their hearts. And that's where we come to today's chapter. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus is no longer speaking to the Pharisees directly, but when we look in the beginning in chapter 23, verse 1, it says, now, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, his audience changes now, and now he's going to be speaking to the general public, and he's going to be talking to them, giving them warnings and talking to them about the Pharisees, but then he's speaking to them and saying, be careful about these things. What does he say? He says in verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. All right, so there's a little bit of debate about what this portion of this passage is talking about. And I just want to briefly say that I did some research. I looked at different commentaries. I looked at different journal articles, and there's a lot of different views out there. For example, what am I talking about right now? What I'm talking about is, what does it mean that the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, where Jesus says, "So practice what they say, practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do." I mean, the Pharisees were the ones that were saying you shouldn't do these things on the Sabbath. You shouldn't pick grain during the Sabbath. You should make sure that you wash your hands. Look, your disciples don't necessarily wash their hands. And they have all these rules and rules, but is Jesus really saying, listen to what they say and do what they say, but don't do what they do? Is Jesus really saying to follow all of their rules and all of their traditions? I mean, it's kind of confusing. And so there's a lot of debate about what Jesus actually meant. Some people say Jesus is saying kind of like a yin-yang type of idea, that with every bad, like the Pharisees are bad, there's a little bit of good in there. So listen to the little bit of good that they say, but don't do what they do. Some people talk about this idea. They don't say yin and yang, but they say there might be some good that they're talking about, so listen to that. Other people say, no, Jesus didn't really mean this. He's speaking kind of with irony. And so he's saying, okay, you guys can do what they say, do what they say, but don't do what they do, right? And some people say that maybe that's what Jesus is doing. Well, I found one journal article that proposed one idea, and I thought it was kind of interesting, right? And the idea is that when the Bible talks about the Pharisees sitting on Moses' seat, what they're saying is that what the Bible is saying is that the Pharisees, they sit in a position of authority, and they're the ones that have access to God's word. They're the ones that have the scrolls available to them, and they can sit down. Whoever is called a teacher, whoever is called an explainer of God's word, they're able to sit down in Moses' seat, have the scroll open, and read through it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When you hear them speak God's word, do what they say according to that, but don't do what they do, because they don't necessarily follow God's word, and they make up other rules and other traditions, and that's what they're doing. And so when Jesus says, you know, they preach but do not practice, what Jesus is maybe talking about here is that they preach according to what God's word says, but they're not actually practicing what they're saying. And so they're called hypocrites. They're going to be called hypocrites over and over again. And I want to make clear, when we talk about hypocrites here, it's not because they say one thing and do another thing. That's not necessarily the case. When Jesus calls them hypocrites, what we're talking about here is that even though they show themselves to be followers of God and people that are in positions that are following God and teaching others to follow God, but they themselves actually are not. They're actually following themselves. And that's why they're called hypocrites. Now, what specific examples does Jesus give here? Verse 4, it says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. All right, so I'm not cussing here. If you're not familiar with this word phylacteries or fringes, I want to just give a brief explanation. So phylacteries were these phylacteries and fringes were actually found in the Old Testament to be something that the Jews are supposed to do. And so it's not wrong that they had the phylacteries and the fringes. What are phylacteries and fringes? Phylacteries are the little boxes that you see on people's heads. And sometimes they tie it on their arms. And in these boxes are scripture verses, Bible verses that they put in there. Not only that, you see the fringes are the little lines that are coming down on the bottom of their clothing. And the fringes are there. Also, both the fringes and the phylacteries are there to remind them of Bible passages, to remind them of who God is. As they're praying, it's a reminder of that they need to continue to pray. And that's what these are for. They're there. They're like physical ways to help remind them to keep their eyes on God and to continue to turn back to the Lord. Now, what Jesus says here is that not that the phylacteries and the fringes are wrong, because in fact, actually, we might not think this, but perhaps Jesus also had phylacteries and fringes in his clothing. There is one evidence where people talk about, oh, if I can only get to touch the edge of his clothing. That edge, the word edge in Greek is the same word as fringes. And so some people say maybe Jesus even had the similar type of clothing. So we're not saying that doing these things, wearing these things is bad in and of themselves, but what we're saying is that what Jesus is saying here is that well, let me just read the verse. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. It's not just a box, but then they make it like broad. I don't know how broad they made it, but like maybe they made it this broad. It's like a whole headband, right? Or the fringes are extra long. Why do they do it? It's so that they could be seen by others. Now, remember, we're talking about how they were trying to exalt themselves during the ancient times. And we're trying to look at what's behind what they're doing. They wanted to do it to be seen by others. What's another way? It says in verse 6, and they loved the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues. They wanted to be exalted through their position, wherever they're placed. And usually a person might sit in a position of honor or a position of authority, maybe, because they're invited up there or because they're recognized as having some type of qualification. And so they're invited up to that seat of honor. Now, it's not to say the seat of honor is, or the best seats are a bad thing in and of themselves. But it's to say that they, the thing that Jesus is pointing out here is that they love these places. They love being in these places. They love being recognized. And so, again, we're looking at their heart motivation. Maybe when they sat in those places and they were invited up, and they were invited up for various reasons. Maybe it's because they had connections with the leaders, or maybe they were invited up because they achieved something. Like maybe they were well studied, and so they were invited up. They're recognized as people that should be honored. But then when they were invited up, maybe they felt, oh, I am so worthy. I deserve to be in this place. And they loved being in those seats of honor. A third thing, the way that they're trying to exalt themselves was through their looks, through their clothing, through their positions, how they're being honored. And the third thing is that they're trying to exalt themselves through titles. Here, let me just read the rest of the passage here. It says, they love the greetings in the marketplaces, and they love being called rabbi by others. And Jesus goes on to say, but you're not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So this last one is about titles. They loved being greeted. Oh, rabbi, whatever, whatever. And they love the title. You know, now, titles, again, in and of themselves are not necessarily a bad thing. But they loved being called by that title. Now, what does Jesus mean when he says, you know, nobody should be called a rabbi? Nobody should be called father, right? Does Jesus mean that I'm supposed to tell my son, don't call me dad anymore. Call me Peter. It's okay. Is that what Jesus means? I mean, don't call anyone an instructor. Like, you're supposed to go to, you know, school, especially here in Taiwan, are we supposed to say, like, you know, instead of saying, like, 张老师, we're supposed to say, instead of saying, teacher, 张, are we supposed to say, hey, whatever their first name is? Do we just call them by their first name? No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus does many times in Scripture, and even in this place, is that he's exaggerating a situation, exaggerating an idea to get to the main point. For those that exalt themselves and love being called rabbi or love being called the father of so many people, those people that love those titles, what Jesus is saying is that it's better for you not to have that title because look at your heart. You're finding so much glory in the title. And that's what Jesus is pointing to. Jesus is not saying, don't ever be called father. Don't ever be called instructor. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look at what's going on in your heart. Because say you're a person that really loves to be exalted by your title. And someone comes up to you and says, hey, Peter. Then you're going to be like, oh, why is that guy not recognizing that I'm a pastor? Right? Jesus is saying it's better for you not to be called pastor because look at your heart. That's what he's talking about. Now, to be exalted, to be lifted up, is not necessarily a bad thing. To be honored, to have someone recognize your good deeds is not necessarily a bad thing. But the question is, what's going on in your heart? Do you find that you want to be exalted, that you have to find ways to be exalted? Well, that's what was going on with the Pharisees. What about us today? We talked about being exalted in ancient times, but what about being exalted in our time? Being exalted in our time. Let's kind of go through the examples that that Jesus brought up about the Pharisees. Exaltation through your looks. Jesus says that we should be servants. We should be people that serve. And he says in this passage, if you want to be great, right, the greatest among you shall be your servant. And a song comes to mind, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all, right? That's our main idea today. Be a servant, not a master. But are there ways that we try to exalt ourselves even through our looks? Are there? The Pharisees, what they try to do, they try to have broadened phylacteries or long fringes. Maybe for us, we do the same. We try to dress up in a certain way, and we want people to notice us. Look how fashionable I am. Look how well-dressed I am. Or maybe for some of us, it's our white teeth. We try to do all these things to make our teeth white, and we want people to notice. Eee, look at me, right? Maybe for some of us, it's our new hairdo, right? I know some people came up to me before and they say, hey, your hair looks really good. And to be honest, after some people commented, you know, I went home and I was like, yeah, look at my hair, right? Now, I want to kind of joke a little bit and say, you know, maybe in Taiwan we don't really think a lot about body shape and our hairdo, especially hairdo, because there's a scooter culture here, right? And everybody has helmet hair. I don't have helmet hair because I don't ride a scooter. But anyways, I'm joking about that. In our world today, we talk about things like body shape, fitness. We talk about body shaming, and they are issues today because we have an emphasis on looks. We have an emphasis on looks. And so because of that, some people, if they think, if I can only get my body in a certain shape, if I can be more fit, and they think, oh, then people will recognize me. People will look at me in a better light. If I can only have a certain body shape, then maybe I have a chance of getting married. Or maybe if I have a certain look with certain clothing, then people will respect me more. Maybe people at work will respect me more. Or if only I can, and just fill in whatever with the idea of looks. And we might have that idea. If I can only look a little bit better, if I can only get in better shape, if only I can dress a little bit better, then people will recognize me. And some of us may have that type of struggle. What about with the idea of position, being recognized? Some of us, we think, if only I could work hard and succeed, if only I can do things well, then people will place me in that respectable position. If only people can see, if only I can just do a little bit more, if only I can strive, only if I can make those certain connections with people, if only I got to know that person, then maybe I can get that award for the school, or maybe I can get that scholarship. And we think, oh, yes. When you do get it, yes, I got it. And it was because I was able to make those connections. It was because I was a hard worker. I'm just so good. People should recognize me. Right? And some of us may think this way. What about through titles? You know, some of us, we might think, I'm the CEO. I deserve to be heard. I'm a mother. I deserve sympathy and recognition. I'm a doctor. I deserve respect. You know, like I imagine a kid and a mother, they go to visit a doctor, and then the mother says, oh, look, listen to what the doctor says. You remember, you never listen to what I say, but listen to what the doctor says. And then the doctor on the side may be saying like, mm-hmm, that's right. You better listen to what I say because I know what I'm talking about, right? Or sometimes maybe doctors, they may face a temptation. And this is not just doctors, but like teachers, people that are in specialty fields will think, you know, another person comes up to them and they say, oh, I know a little bit about your field. And the person just says a little bit. And they say some wrong things. And you might think, oh, this person doesn't know anything. This person is acting like they know something. Here, let me tell you something. Blah, 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 blah. And then the person says, wow, you are so great. You're so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because I've studied 10 years in the field. You better recognize, right? And some of us, we go through all those things. You know, there was one time that I faced a similar type of temptation. You know, there's a temptation for me to want to be recognized by my title or by my credentials. Let me give two examples. One is people will call me Pastor Peter in the past. And I would say, and a lot of the people that I used to work with, they were students, and they like to shorten things. So they would call me PP. Right? And I would say, no, please don't call me PP. Right? And then other people would say, oh, let's call him Leader Peter. So people would call me Leader Peter, and they'll shorten it, and they'll call me LP. Right? And so they call me these things, but then, you know, for me, there's a temptation there, but I'm okay with that. Okay, just call me Peter, just call me Pastor Peter, Leader Peter, whatever you want, just call me whatever you want. And then other people would say, oh, are you sure? I say, it doesn't matter, whatever you want to call me, you can call me that. But then there's another time where I was really tempted to find some pride in my credentials. I was having a conversation with one gentleman one time, and he was asking about what my credentials were. And I said that I had a master's degree. And he said, oh, have you thought about doing a PhD? I said, well, I have, but I haven't done it yet. But, and I was just like kind of joking, haha, but actually I have 3 master's degrees and I feel like I've spent enough time studying. It's like the same amount of time as a PhD. And I do have 3 master's degrees and that's why I said that. And he said, oh, but you know, a master's degree, no matter how many you have, will never be equivalent to a PhD. And I just felt very tempted. And like, oh, this guy, he's not recognizing all my efforts. He's not recognizing that I have not one, but 3 master's degrees, right? And maybe what he said is true. Maybe 1 master's degree is never going to be, or 3 master, or however many you have, will never be equivalent to a PhD. Maybe it's true, but for me, I face that temptation. Oh, like I want to be exalted, but this guy, he's not recognizing all my credentials. Oh, right? And I was like, oh, maybe I need to do a PhD. if I ever do a PhD in the future, I just want you to know that I am thinking about these things. It's not because I'm wanting to fall into the temptation. Why do we do this? Why do we have this need to feel like I want to be exalted? I want to feel like I'm better. I want to feel like I'm good enough. I want other people to recognize that. You know, we don't have to stick with just these 3 examples, looks and position and titles. We can expand this, and maybe some of you guys didn't relate with some of these things, but maybe you relate with some of these. Maybe we want to receive respect and recognition because I'm a hard worker or because I'm a good parent. I deserve to be honored or respected or recognized because I have right theology or because I'm smart or because I'm studious, because I'm punctual, because I can be on time and those other people cannot. People should recognize that. Or I'm self-disciplined. Look how self-disciplined I am. I'm able to stick to my diet. Or some of us, we may think, I'm a flexible person. You know, You know, that guy's bragging about how self-disciplined he is. I'm flexible. You can like me more, right? Some of us, we may think I deserve respect or I deserve to be recognized because I'm more understanding of people or I'm more caring of other people or I know what people go through because I can sympathize. I really have that compassionate heart. Or I don't drink or I don't smoke, so people should recognize that I'm kind of holy that way. Or I'm a good manager of my finances. I'm wise with my spending. I have a proper understanding of my health. I take care of my body. I have proper understanding of political and world affairs. Oh, man, you look at Facebook these days, and people are writing so much, right? And they're looking for that like. They're looking for that smiley face, right? I deserve to be recognized or respected or at least honored or something. People should notice me. And maybe some of you guys identify with some of these things. Why do we do this? Why do we feel that we deserve this and that we deserve for people to honor us and recognize? Why do we fall into the same trap that the Pharisees did back then? Well, perhaps, actually, let me take one step back. Some of us may not necessarily identify with any of these things. And that's because maybe some of us, we've been here in Taiwan a little bit too long. And I'm not just talking about Taiwan, I'm talking about many Asian cultures, they struggle with the same thing. And that's the idea of, we would never ever say, look at me. We would say, nali, nali. We would say, no, 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 that's not true. It's okay. No, 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 you don't have to give thanks to me. No, 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 I don't need to be recognized. No, 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 I don't want that seat of honor. No, you take it, you take it, right? And we find situations where people are fighting to pay for a meal, right? People are fighting to pay for a meal, and there's two ways to maybe think about that. It's, oh, you should recognize how much money I have. Let me pay for it. No, 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 I'm going to pay for it. Recognize how much money I have. Or the opposite is, look, look at me. I'm such a servant. I'm willing to pay for you guys. No, 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 it's okay. I can pay. I don't have a lot of money, but I will still pay. Don't worry, I want to serve you guys. Either way, the point is still about me. Even though we try to shift the focus away from us, but somehow it's still about me. It's still about self-exaltation. So I want to go back to that idea of why do we do this? Why do we keep falling into this? Well, perhaps if we think about the way that the scriptures describe our relationship with God, perhaps the reason is that originally we were made in the image of God. Now, we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And back in the Garden of Eden, mankind had a relationship with God where we were like, we're like princes, we're like princesses. We were able to come into the throne room of the king without any problem. We're able to talk and have a conversation with God. And so we had that elevated status. But then we chose to say, I don't need you, God. I don't want you. I want to do things my way. And when that happened, God cast us away out of the Garden of Eden, cast mankind away. And we were taken away from that status. We were lowered to have a lower status. And what that means is that we're called sinners. We are not elevated anymore. And so we have this emptiness where we want to be elevated, where we want to go back to that place where we felt like we were in a higher place. But the way that we try to do that these days, and even if we're Christians, we try to do this. The way that we try to do that is we do it through our works, through our titles, through our looks. We try to find any other way through our credentials, through our job, through our position. We do it in any way to try to elevate ourselves. And so we cannot help but to keep falling into this trap. We keep wanting to tell others, look, I'm good enough. Stop arguing with me. I know better than you. Look at my credentials. Look, I've studied more. And we try to bring ourselves up and we try to make ourselves feel like we are okay. A lot of the motivational speakers, that's what they're all about. They say, you are better person. You are good. Tell yourself, I'm so awesome. I'm good. I will succeed. And it's all about self-exaltation. But it's empty. Because no matter how much we try to elevate ourselves, we're still counted as sinners. What we're longing for is to have that relationship with God again so that we can be exalted. But when we do it our own way, we fall into sin. We say, Jesus, we don't need you. We don't need your help. We're going to exalt ourselves our own way. And this is where we come to our third point. Exalted through all time. Jesus is our answer. Jesus is our only hope. We want to be exalted. We can't do it ourselves. The only way that we can be exalted is through Jesus Christ. And he was the one that was supposed to be exalted through all time. But he didn't necessarily have the, when he, but he gave everything up. And he came to this earth. And when he came to this earth, he didn't necessarily have the looks. He didn't necessarily have the position. He didn't necessarily have all the titles, even though he originally did. A couple of verses that I want to show to you guys. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, it says, for he grew up before him like a young plant. And this is talking about the Messiah that's to come. It's talking about Jesus. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Right? So, you know, when we think about Jesus, maybe we see certain pictures and we think, oh, wow, Jesus was supposed to be this beautiful person. No, he was just an ordinary looking guy. There was nothing special about him that would draw people to him. Jesus, he wasn't necessarily always in the seat of honor. He actually lowered himself, and many times he was not in the seat of honor, but in the seat of sinners. Not only that, he was the king of Israel. He's supposed to be God. He's the comforter. He's supposed to be all these things with all the titles. But when he came to this earth, he lowered himself. He was counted as nothing. And on the cross, he had a plaque that said, King of the Jews. But ironically, he was the one that was being crucified on the cross. And so it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was supposed to be esteemed. He was supposed to be exalted. We're supposed to lift him up. He's supposed to be exalted through all time, but he wasn't. And he willingly lowered himself. He was willing to become a servant. This is what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And talking about the same idea about how he died for us, in Philippians chapter 2, it says this. But Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And here's the thing. Because Jesus was willing to humble himself, God the Father exalted him. He raised him up, and he was exalted to the highest place. When we continue to read from Philippians 2, it says this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because he was willing to humble himself, and because he died on the cross for our sins, God raised him up and exalted him. And he now has the name that is above every name, and now he will be exalted through all time. But here's the thing. Jesus gives us a promise that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you say, I am not wanting to exalt myself anymore because I cannot exalt myself. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize my need for Jesus. I recognize what Jesus did for me, how he was exalted. Though he was exalted, he was willing to humble himself, and he died for me. I recognize all that, and I want to trust in you, Jesus. I want to give my life to you. I want to live for you. Jesus says, all of the promises that are found in Scripture for his people are now given to us. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. Even though we were supposed to be children of wrath, it says this, we lived among them who are of this world, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children. Let's go back. We're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But here's the turning point. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, because of his great love, what does it say? It says, next page, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And look, it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that's why in the very next verses, you guys might know this, it says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You guys see that? If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, he raises us up with him and places us in seats of glory with him. He places us in the heavenly places with him. We're able to be back in that place of heavenly glory with our Lord. And so we don't have this need to exalt ourselves anymore. We're already exalted to that high place because of what Jesus has done for us. It's not by our own doing. It doesn't matter what credentials we have. It doesn't matter how we look. It doesn't matter what we've achieved. It doesn't matter how much experience you have. All of these things don't matter. Because no matter how much we try to exalt ourselves, we only get to a certain point. But when we put our faith in Jesus, he exalts us to the highest place. He seats us in the heavenly places. And there's no more need for us to exalt ourselves anymore. And you know what that frees us to do now? We don't have to be masters and lord it over other people and tell them how great we are anymore. But we can actually lower ourselves like Jesus and become servants of other people. That's how it happens. The main idea for today, again, is be a servant, not a master. And the only way that we can do this is if we look to Jesus and trust in what he's done for us. And so some practical applications. Take some time to actually think through, what is it that I'm striving for right now? What is it that's my goal and what am I striving for? Is it a degree? Is it marriage? Is it some job? Is it retirement? Is it a full bank account? What am I striving for? And that's not necessarily the bad thing, but what we want to check, what we want to look into more is, why am I striving for that thing? Why am I striving for that thing? Because that's what will reveal what's really in our hearts. So do that exercise. What am I striving for? And why am I striving for that? And maybe another thing that you could think about as you think about that is what can you achieve that Jesus has not already achieved for you? What can you achieve that Jesus has already, that Jesus has not already achieved for you? And as we reflect on how Christ has already seated us in the heavenly places, as we reflect on these things and we're able to humble ourselves and serve other people, another thing that we can begin to think about is, how can I begin to serve the people that are around me? How can I begin to serve my neighbor, my upstairs neighbor, my downstairs neighbor, the person that I see every day on the street? How can I begin to serve that person? How can I begin to serve my boss? How can I begin to serve my coworkers? How can I begin to serve my spouse? How can I begin to serve my children? How can I begin to serve the people that are sitting next to me here in this church? We can begin to think about these things. Well, let's go into a time of prayer and reflection. We want to go directly into our time of taking communion. But as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want to ask us to begin to pray and think through the sermon and maybe think through, what is it that the Lord is speaking to you about? What are some areas that you need to really think through once again? Let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll transition into our time of communion. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we could look to your word and just to be reminded that the only way that we can really be exalted, the way that we could be lifted up, is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would cause all of us here to see how wonderful it is to be exalted in you and not through our own efforts. And Lord, that we may begin to follow your example in humbling ourselves and becoming servants of others. May we do it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.